Clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ as we receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament this morning. We thank you for being here. We thank you for those who are tuned in on the radio right now. We wish you the Lord's blessings as well. And the Lord truly does bless us by bringing us together as church around his word. And that blessing is a break, as I like to call it, a break from the normal hustle and bustle of life, where our Lord comes according to his promise and says, where he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And he gives us a break from the hustle and bustle and allows us to hear his word, to learn and to be encouraged in our faith through his gifts. So we are blessed to be together. Our opening hymn for this morning, our hymn of invocation, is hymn number 730 in your hymnal. That is the hymn, "What Is This World to Me?" And we do invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, on the last verse of the hymn this morning. Hymn 730, let's sing together. along with us if you'd like to in our bulletin on page 2. We begin here in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit from Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We continue with our Kyrie on page 4. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 11. We begin at verse 18 of that chapter. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from the book of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please stand now if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? It's hymn number 851, "Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us." Let's sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever had something going on in your life that it was just easier to ignore than to deal with? I don't know. I think we all do, right? You get the card in the mail from the dentist's office. It's time to go in for the cleaning. It's a good thing to do, go for a cleaning. But it's easy to say, well, that's a future me problem. I'll deal with that one later. Or another example is end of life planning, right? Not something we want to think about that much. So we sort of put it off. One day we'll need to consider it, but right now we've got other more important things to worry about. You know, that's how the disciples in our text from Mark chapter 9 seem to react to what our Lord tells them in verse 31 of our text, where he says to them this glorious, and I mean glorious, prophecy. He tells them the whole thing, right? The main event, the grand stage of what's going to happen to him and what's going to be theirs and our salvation itself. Did you catch those words in our gospel reading? He said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of evil men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. That's the whole gospel, pretty much, right? This is the main thing. It's huge. It's amazing. It's a prophecy to them about the future and what's coming. And they were afraid, the text tells us, to get into the details of that with him, afraid to ask him. So they kind of just left it alone. They didn't understand. Plus, they had more pressing issues as they were on their way from Galilee to Capernaum that day. And their pressing issues were they wanted to know which one of them was the greatest. The disciples at this point had a much different idea of how Jesus was going to rule in his heavenly kingdom. They imagined him more like an earthly king than a heavenly one. In fact, you can see it in the ascension of Jesus. Right before that, the disciples ask him, is now the time, Lord, that you're going to usher in your kingdom? Thinking about a worldly takeover, a worldly kingdom. But we know. See, we have this amazing vantage as Christians who have the scriptures of the New Testament. When Jesus is before Pontius Pilate, who has authority over the people of that land, and he's about to be crucified, he tells Pontius Pilate, right? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my people would fight for me. But my kingdom is not of this world. We know it. And we talk about the kingdom of heaven all the time. But to think about life this way, to think about Jesus' rule and reign this way, is very difficult. Because it's true for us too. That like the disciples, we often get caught passing over the important things like Jesus' death and resurrection for us and for everyone in our everyday lives. And instead, we look for, especially in an election year like this one, for God to display his reign and power and kingly nature in American politics. We want a God, we want a Savior that will rule and reign in the world like we want him to. We want to see him at work to thwart evil and topple governments and be our king. But what did Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. When the disciples are arguing in the text about which one of them is the greatest, it should convict us. Because we get caught up in it too. constantly comparing ourselves among ourselves, right? I mean, this is the marketing world that we live in. It's constant and all the time. All the cool people are doing this. All the cool people are wearing these. Oh, it doesn't matter how much they cost. They're cool. We see it all the time. It's convicting to think about it. We get caught up thinking about the kingdom of this world and how God's supposed to give us stuff that we want and how he's supposed to fix everything the way we think it needs to be fixed. So Jesus, knowing all things, gathers the disciples together and explains to them the real situation, as he also has done for us this morning as well. Gathered us together to teach us, that's you and me also, about how his power and how his authority really work in his heavenly kingdom that never ends. That's the real authority, above the courts, above the White House. So how does it work? Well, listen to what Jesus has to say in verse 35 of our reading. Check it out if you want to in the text there in front of you. He says, if anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and the servant of all. If anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and the servant of all. What's he saying to us? He's telling us that in his kingdom, it works exactly backwards of the way you think it works and the way I think it works. We think the first, the greatest, the most powerful, the strongest, the smartest, those people are first. The most capable, the most beautiful, the richest, the healthiest. Those people are ones that are tackling life and saying, don't get back up, life. I tackled you. They're first, we think. But that's not how Jesus sees it. Remember his Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. In other words, they don't think they possess it in and of themselves. Blessed are those who suffer for my sake. Those are the ones blessed by God. See, it works backwards of the way we think it does. Jesus wants us to know to be truly first in his kingdom that matters. How? If anyone would be first, he must become last of all and servant of all. So how do we do that, right? Well, take an inventory of yourself this morning with me, just real quickly. What do you want? What is it that you want? What do you desire, really? Moment of honesty within ourselves. I'm asking myself the same question as I'm asking it to you. What is it that we really want? Better yet, what is it that we're afraid to lose that we might hold on to with all our might? What are we afraid to lose? And then get it straight in our heads that we can set it all aside. All of it aside in service to Christ. Is that possible? You mean if I'm not going for broke here, God will still take care of me? Is that what you're trying to say, Pastor? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. We think we're earning it, but we're not. He's pouring it out from heaven. All good things come down from the Father of lights. He's providing for you. It's him the whole while. It's not us. Our chance to do things is a chance to be of service, thankful service to a God who sent his only begotten Son to die for us It's a worship of sort, right? A thanksgiving to do things. It's not earning. His gifts come by grace. But there's this weird thing about us, right? Like, we don't really like to serve that much. I mean, we'll do it, right? If it's every once in a while. Not too often, just every once in a while we'll do it. But most of the time we want to be paid for what we do. Compensated. We don't like to set ourselves aside for the sake of others. And especially what Jesus is saying to us this morning is that we should have a whole life that looks like that. That if anybody wants to be first, they must be last of all and a servant to all. Hold on, Jesus, are you talking about my whole life? My whole life, I'm just supposed to be a servant? See how opposite the thinking is? How backwards it works from the way we normally think? Again, our Lord's words. My kingdom is not of this world. If anyone would be first, he must become last of all and servant of all. You know, Martin Luther helps us understand this teaching with something that he wrote. He wrote this. He said, a Christian is Lord of all and subject to none. And at the exact same time, a Christian is a servant of all and a slave to everyone. It's an amazing teaching. His first sentence describes what we are in the kingdom that's not of this world. And the scriptures attest that you, me, and all believers, brothers and sisters with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, children of God, citizens of heaven. So Luther's summarizing, right? When he says, a Christian is a Lord of all and is subject to none in the world. But his second sentence, it's what that status that we just described, citizens of heaven, children of God, brothers and sisters with Christ, that status, the second sentence is what it looks like in the world, being that child of God, being that person with that kind of heavenly status bought and paid for by the blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You've got that status. What is it supposed to look like in the kingdom of the world? He says, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant to all. He also tells us to store up our treasures, not here, but in heaven. What's the point? Well, you and I, by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, by his resurrection, by his ascension into the heavens, in our baptism, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're made kings and queens with Christ. But kings and queens in the kingdom of heaven, guess what? They're willingly last on earth, and they're willingly servants of all. That's what it is. We don't believe it. It's hard to process. Look at our Lord Jesus. He's the King of Kings, right? The Lord of Lords, triumphant. Great is his name. Forever and ever he's been. He always will be. So often we have people ask, when did God begin? As the teachers that are here with us this morning know, this question comes up, right? When did God start? He didn't. What do you mean? No. He's always been. He's always been, right? This is our Lord Jesus. There's never a time when he was not. Process that, right? Put that in your soup and see how it tastes. It doesn't make a lot of rational sense. It's hard to comprehend, right? But this Lord, with all the glory and the trumpets and the angels and everything that he is, as amazing as he is, he comes to earth and he does what? He becomes the last of all and a servant to all, a servant to you and a servant to me. And he does it because he loves us. He did what he did on the cross because he loves you. And he wants to give you everything he has to give you. He gives us this great gift called forgiveness. And our lives can't function without it. It's not just a churchy thing. It works everywhere, right? In our homes, in our families, in our friendships, and in our businesses. He gives us forgiveness. It holds all things together in some sense, right? Because without it, nobody can work together at all or be together at all. Every relationship ruined. He forgives our sins, and he forgives us for the times that we've been selfish in our ambitions and the times that we've been jealous, like James talked about in his epistle, and for every sin. If you think there's a sin that you've done this morning, if you're here and you think there's a sin you've done, or if you're listening, that God can't forgive, you're wrong. He forgives you. He died for you on his cross, became a servant to sinners that didn't deserve him. And now we're clean and forgiven by his blood. But now that we know that we are, and now that we know from his own mouth how the kingdom of heaven works, the kings and queens and children of God in heaven, how does that look on earth? It looks like service to all. And now that we know that, how do we live? Why won't we just willingly be servants? I'm almost done, but hear and consider this. How difficult it is sometimes, and just for a quick analogy, you know, to do the dishes at home, right? Why doesn't somebody else just do the dishes? Why do I gotta do them, right? I'm just coming up with something out of thin air, but it's hard to be a servant. It's hard to do what our Lord is saying, right? It makes you kind of feel last of all when you're the one that has to clean the dreaded bathroom or the toilets or something like that. It's like, ugh, what am I, the last of all? Guys, friends, see these opportunities to serve our Lord. There's no disconnect between our God and your daily life or mine. Every activity, everything that we do, everything that we say, every chance that we have to serve. Of course, you got the guys, right, that or the gals that go out to work and they earn all the money and then somebody else spends it. And they say, oh, I don't want to go to work. Well, why not? Are we hearing what our Lord is teaching us? That's kingly and queenly service, to scrub, to wash dishes, to change the oil in the car, to go to work, to do the laundry. All of these things are connected. These are God's people that we live in our homes with. They're God's people that we go to work with. They're God's people that we go to church with. Opportunities to serve, everything we do, a chance to be first in the kingdom of heaven. A chance to be servants on earth, for God to work through us and show who we really are, his baptized children. That's how it is, friends. That's how the kingdom of your Lord works. So we shouldn't put it off, you know, like going for the cleaning at the dentist or writing our will. But we should dive in to loving our neighbors and our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because he died for us and he forgave our sins. And this is the awesome and highest honor and blessing when we have someone, and I mean anyone, to serve for our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. It's printed for you there on page 8 and 9 in the bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit to the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have taken us from all nations and united us in the body of your Son. Send your Holy Spirit to rid your children of all bitter jealousy, boasting, and selfish ambition. Fill the baptized with your wisdom, that we may lead peaceable lives in sincerity and love. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of hosts, give our synod's leaders and all pastors the wisdom that comes down from above, that they may be peaceable and gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Let them sow among us in peace and grant a harvest of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Uphold this world in your order, dear Lord. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Lord, we pray you bless our homes, that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. Give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised not for selfish reasons, but for the benefit of our people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in loving kindness, you do not abandon your children to suffer alone, but promise to care for all who call upon your name. Bless the homebound, the lonely, the depressed and anxious, those preparing for surgery, the ill, the dying. Lord, and also bless those that we especially name in the prayers of our church this morning from the altar, Susan St. Cyr, Joyce Austin and family, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Kenny Rodman, Dick Greitz, Donna Erke, Richard Lynch, the Gerties family, Janice Ross, Betty Mae Paulson, Sonia, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jeary, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, comfort them in their distress. Heal all their ills of body and soul, and grant them your peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
O Lord of hosts, your Son was cut off from the land of the living on the tree of the cross, that we might eat and drink the fruit of his body and blood and live forever. Grant that we may worthily receive his supper in remembrance of him. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Father, grant that what we ask from you may not be squandered after our own passions, but sought rightly in faith, that we may receive them and put them into service for you and our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray. trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we invite all of our teachers from Trinity Lutheran School to please come forward to the altar. It is a formal teacher installation for the school year, but just on one quick informal note, what a good bunch of teachers we have and how blessed we are at our school. It's just incredible. I'm comfortable if you guys are giving them a round of applause for the work that they do. You all do amazing work. You're all doing a great job, and we're very thankful for you. And this group of people that's out here in the pews is supportive of you in your endeavor and will help you with whatever you need. And we feel very blessed to have you doing what you're doing for us at Trinity Lutheran School. Okay, back to the formal rite, right? Here we go. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Cana, and Annie, and Kristen, and Charlene, and Amanda, and in absentia, Suzanne, have been appointed to serve in our school as our school teachers. They've been prepared for this work through advanced study that qualifies them to do it. Trinity Lutheran School has been established to instruct young children in Christian environments, such as knowledge and skills, as will equip them for faithful service, to be responsible citizens in their life's work and in their chosen careers, and of course, which will encourage their faith and help them to know their Lord Jesus throughout their lives. Do each of you willingly and freely assume the responsibility entrusted to you, and do you promise to do your utmost to carry it out in a God-pleasing manner? The work assigned to you according to the mission and purpose of Trinity Lutheran School? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you promise to set a Christian example for the students in speech, in life, in faith, and in purity? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
You have heard the solemn promise of our teachers. Will you receive them and show them fitting respect and honor and pledge to cooperate with and support their work? If so, may the congregation answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Let us pray. Would you face the altar with me, ladies? Gracious Lord, truly, Lord, it's your work that brings people to the office of teacher, especially in the church, Lord, but also in the public schools and in the community. Lord, we thank you for our teachers. We thank you for the hearts that you've given them to serve. We thank you for the strength that you give them each and every week to deal with the ups and downs of teaching and their vocation. Lord, bless them, we pray. Lord, bless Cana and give her strength and wisdom in her work. And bless Annie and give her strength and wisdom in her work as a teacher and director of our school. Lord, bless Kristen and give her strength and wisdom in her work. Lord, bless Charlene and give her strength and wisdom in her work. Lord, and bless Amanda and give her strength and wisdom in her work. And bless Suzanne and give her strength and wisdom in her work. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you turn back and face the congregation. Cana and Annie, Kristen, Charlene, Amanda, and Suzanne in absentia, I install you in the position of teachers in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Alamosa, Colorado. And Annie, I install you as director of Trinity Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray again. Let us pray. Gracious and bountiful Lord, we humbly pray that you will continue to make Trinity Lutheran School a center of godly learning and living. Give those who teach knowledge, patience, and a loving spirit, and those who are taught, receptive hearts and aptness to learn. Prosper the work of our instructors and our students and all who assist them from their labors. Strengthen our school board that sees to the important matters of the school each and every day and each and every week. Lord, bless their labors that your church may be edified and your holy name glorified. Lord, and most importantly, your gospel preached to ears and souls. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and joy. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You can go back to your pews now. Thank you. We now come to the time in our service where we have an opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of those gifts which he so gracefully and bountifully poured out upon us in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to sing with us there on page 10 in the bulletin, Children of the Heavenly Father. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning into our service, and we wish you the Lord's blessings as you go about your week. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary with us, we invite you to turn over to page 11 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. And if the congregation would please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is addressing his country's escalating conflict with Hezbollah, now vowing to take whatever action is necessary to return people safely to their homes in northern